We're going to read tonight from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28, and we'll commence our reading at verse number 10. This is a portion where Jacob has, just after stealing away his brother's birthright and blessing, now he has to leave home, and in verse 10 we read of that departure. Genesis 28 and verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran, and lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other than but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so will I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be for God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow tonight before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, for the joy of meeting together to sing the praise of Zion and to worship thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou art the infinite, the eternal, and the unchangeable God. And we bless thee, our Father, that thou dost give to us a foundation upon which to build for eternity. And Father, we thank thee it is the finished work of the Lord Jesus. That tonight, our Father, we thank thee for every individual believer here. O God, we pray that thou would strengthen thy people with might in the inner man by the Holy Ghost. And Father, we pray that this church may ever be a center of God's revival. And Father, we pray that thou will bless the ministry of thy word week by week. And tonight, our God, we would ask of thee, that should there be those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight, Lord, thou would speak by the word of thy power, that thou would help them to understand that to be born again is not an option, but thou hast said ye must be born again. And Father, we pray that even this night, that some soul would come to find rest and peace in believing, and be able to say with Jacob that the Lord would be their God. So our Father, come now and bless us and refresh our meditation in the Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This congregation and our congregation has just recently come through a major building project, and perhaps there will be more lying in the future for us all. When you get down to building, as you did the building next door, we did our church, you need to have all kinds of tools and all kinds of equipment for that job. Some of the equipment has to be large, like excavators to dig out the hole in which you're going to put your building. You'll need cranes and hoists. And then on the other hand, you have some very small tools and equipment, like hammers and saws and drills. And one of the most important items in any building project, especially once you get above the ground, is to have an abundant supply of ladders to help you get up and to do the work as you progress. The most famous ladder, I suppose, in all of history, and the only one mentioned in the Bible, is the ladder known as Jacob's ladder that we have read about. Jacob was a twister, he was a deceiver, he was a supplanter, and he was the thief of his brother's birthright and his brother's blessing. And because of that, like as we saw last week, Onesimus, he had to run away from his home. And so he set the journey from Beersheba in the south of Israel, traveling north until he came to an area just north of Jerusalem. And there he put some stones down and made his bed for the night, and he fell asleep. In the middle of that sleep, of course, you know, he dreamed a dream. And in that dream, we're told that he beheld a ladder that was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And on that ladder, he saw angels ascending and descending. And above that ladder was the voice of the Lord speaking and making a promise to him, saying, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now that ladder that was seen once in a vision by Jacob some millennia ago in a single dream, that ladder is very pertinent to us in our day, and it bears a glorious gospel message. And so tonight I want just to consider, for a little while, this ladder known as Jacob's ladder. The first thing I want to leave with you is the span of the ladder. Because we're told here that the ladder was set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And so you have two entities here. The first one is the dwelling place of God. We're reminded here, and we're told here, that this ladder reached right up to heaven, right to the very center of holiness, right to the center of absolute righteousness, right to the very dwelling place of God and the home of the holy angels. And of course the Bible tells us regarding heaven, in the very last book of the Bible, that nothing that is defiled can enter into heaven. And so you have the one entity of the heaven that the ladder reached up to. Then the second entity, of course, is the earth, and here is the dwelling place of man, a poor, mere, miserable, mortal, a sinful man. Man who fell in Adam, the guilty sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race, and living under the curse of God because not only of Adam's sin, but because of our own sins as well. And so you've got these two entities. You have heaven and you have earth. And on earth you have man trying to lift himself up towards God. And man is unable to do that, just as he could not lift himself off the ground by pulling on his shoelaces. Now man, of course, has tried many, many times to bridge the gap between earth and heaven. You just need to go back into the book of Genesis in chapter 11, and you'll find them there about the great business of building a city on the tower of Babel. And man tried to bridge that gap himself. And how miserable an effort it was when he tried to do that and to get to heaven by his own efforts. But he discovered then that as a man he was confined and condemned to earth, and so he could not rise above the earth. And you'll find too that while the city was left off, that tower is still continuing because the tower, of course, was a religious temple. And while the bricks and the mortar of that temple were taken down, still you find that man is building. Because in the book of Revelation we're told that in the last days there will be the appearance of the mystery Babylon. And of course, mystery Babylon takes us right back to Genesis 11, to Babel, confusion. And of course, in that place in Genesis, you had a movement that was a people-unifying movement, but it was a God-defying movement. In our day, you have the very same movement building and gathering momentum as people are trying to form a one-world government and they're trying to form a one-world religion. Not just Christianity, but bringing together all those who believe in any sort of supreme being or supreme spirit. So man has always tried to bridge this gap. And if man does not succeed in solving the problem of getting from earth to heaven, then he is going to drop into the abyss and be eternally damned from the presence of the Lord. So you've got the span of this ladder reaching from earth right up to heaven. But there's something more here. There is the singularity of the ladder. Because you will notice that Jacob only saw one ladder. If you go to your building project, you'll find ladders innumerous, some small, some tall, and they're all used for different purposes. But what Jacob saw was just one ladder. And that one ladder reminds us that there is only one way to heaven from earth, and there's only one way from man to God. Now, human ladders have been erected down through the history of mankind, but they're all too short. You see, if you were going to change one of these lights up here and you took a 6-foot step ladder, wouldn't do you much good because you wouldn't get up to it. And man has continually been making ladders. Ladders of his own philosophy. Ladders of his own religions. And you'll find that the world is full of cults and religions and they're all doing their best to try and get to heaven, to bridge this gap between earth and heaven. And yet how useless they are when you consider what man is trying to do. So even some of them, they say, well, if we could only somehow join all our efforts together, if we could join all our human ladders together, could we not make one big ladder that will span this great gap and get us to heaven and get us united to God? And of course, there is an ecumenical movement today that is trying to join together all the so-called churches of Christendom, and as well as that, the nations outside and the religions outside that don't believe in the God of the Bible at all, trying to join them all together. But if you try to tie a bunch of ladders together, you'll find that their strength lies in the weakest link. And whether you weld them together or you tie them together with rope, they're not going to be very strong. And you'll find in the time of need, they will let you down. But my friend, in this scripture here, Jacob saw something that gave to him and gives to the world a ray of hope. And that is that the gap between earth and heaven can be bridged. And that we can get from earth to heaven. And this ladder reaching from earth to heaven is certainly long enough to do the job that we needed to do. And so here is a ladder, and it was one ladder, not a whole series, and one individual ladder. And I believe that tells us simply, there is only one way of salvation, and that is by God's appointed ladder. Now you've got to consider also the strength of the ladder. Because if man is trying to bridge this gap, and he's trying to get from time to eternity, is that ladder that he is making for himself, is it strong enough to carry the hopes of all those who would traverse that gulf? And when you come to look at this ladder here, the ladder that's set up in Jacob's day, is that ladder strong enough to carry the hopes of all those and the hopes of troubled humanity, can they travel and traverse that ladder? My friend, you'll find that human ladders can and do fail. But the ladder Jacob saw is the ladder that never, ever will fail. One of my elders, I better reword that, because one of my elders' wives, he only has the one wife, and that's the way it ought to be, but the wife of one of my elders, maybe that's better, The wife of one of my elders came home from work there not so very long ago. Came home during the day, and she came to her house, and she knew that her husband or two children wouldn't be there because they're all away at their own respective works. And so she was coming home to have a bite to eat at lunchtime. And she put her hand into her pocket for the key of the house, and there was no key in the pocket. She looked into the purse, and of course a woman's purse carries everything, including the kitchen sink. Inside she looked, she could find no key for the house. And so here she is, locked outside the house, wanting to get inside, and she wonders what she can do. The house at neither side seemed to be deserted. Nobody there can help her. And as she looks around her house and sees up on the second floor, there is a window slightly open. And then taking in her gaze, she sees a ladder, her husband's ladder, that is lying on the back garden. And so she decides that she is going to go up to the second floor window, and she's going to climb into the window into the house that way. There's only one problem. She's not very skilled in the use of a ladder. So she got the ladder up against the wall all right, but she had it upside down. She had the thin part at the bottom and the thicker part up, and she got it up. She started to climb up the ladder towards the window where she hoped to gain entrance into the house. She got up to just about within grasp of the window when she felt the ladder shake. She reached out and just grabbed part of the window and part of the windowsill, and then watched helplessly as she saw the ladder skidding down, and she is left holding on by two hands to the second floor window, and the ladder is now down below on the ground. And as she's there, hanging there, there was no neighbor to see her plight. And she begins to think, she told us afterwards, that I am going to have to let go, because this is not going to work. I can hold on, my fingers are getting sore. I am going to have to let go. And let go she did, and down she fell. But fortunately, when she hit the ground, she hit the grass and not the concrete. Just missed the concrete, verging by a very small amount. And so she got shook up, but not too seriously hurt. And so she learned that a ladder has to be secure. And my friend, if you're trying to get that greater journey from here to heaven, you must make sure that the ladder you're building upon is secure. Because there are many religions in this world today, and they'll come along and they'll promise you everything. And they'll say, here is a ladder up to heaven, follow us, believe our creeds, be baptized into our organization, and all be well. And then when you come to die, they can come along and tell you the church has done all that it can for you. And you're left there to fall down into the burnings of an everlasting hell. So it is most important that you have a ladder that is strong enough, that's long enough, that is secure enough to make this journey from earth to heaven. And today, you think of the cults in this nation, and it's always a source of grief to me that most of the modern day cults had their genesis in North America. Russellites, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Science, the New Age movement, you name it, most of them had their beginning here in North America. And if ever there was a time when the people of God need to pray that God would give a strength and impetus to the people of God in our day to raise up a testimony, it is today. And so there are so many today trusting in ladders that will never get them anywhere. An old lady came to my door some time ago, coming, representing the Russellites. I don't call them Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't think they've any right to use that title. But she came, and she was well in excess of 80 years of age. And I told her, Madam, you need to consider eternal matters. And she told me that there was no hell, and that she wasn't going to heaven, didn't want to go to heaven. I told her, Madam, at your age, you would need to seriously consider what you're putting your trust in for eternity and make sure that you're on something that will stand the test of time. So, the ladder that you're building on for eternity, is it something that you have made? Is it something you've imbibed from somebody else? Is it some philosophy that's here today and changed or gone tomorrow? Is it something that's going to let you down at the point when you come to die? You need to ask yourself, am I on a ladder that will bridge the gap between the sinful world and the holy heaven that God has made? Now, there's something else here, and that is the symbolism of the ladder, because there's no question about who or what this ladder is. There's no question. It's not a matter of human speculation. It's not a matter that we sit down and we try to get a message out of what this ladder is. The Bible itself tells us exactly what was the ladder that Jacob saw. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 51, where the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Nathanael. And he said to him in verse 50, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon Jacob's ladder. No, he didn't see that. It says, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, He alone is that ladder that spans earth and heaven. He alone is that ladder that's long enough to reach to heaven. He alone is that ladder that is strong enough to carry the burden of our guilt. He is the ladder that is secure enough to save us by His grace. And so the Lord Jesus Christ alone is that ladder. And today, there is a great religious and organization, universal in its reach across this world. It has its center in the city of Rome. And they have given to its chief officer the title Pontifex Maximus, the Great Bridge. And today he presents himself, and how sad it is that somebody like Jack Van Impe, who was a speaker at the first World Congress of Fundamentalists in Edinburgh, is now today the apologist for the Church of Rome. How sad. It is a blasphemy for a man to call himself Pontifex Maximus, the great bridge between earth and heaven. Because there's only one, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Jacob saw way back there in the book of Genesis when he saw. And that is what Elizabeth Clefane saw when she wrote that hymn that we sung a few minutes ago. She saw the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as a ladder up to heaven. And so, my friend, if you would ever step within the hallowed halls of heaven, you've got to come by the way of the cross, and by the way of that ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the mediator between God and men. Last Sunday evening, we dealt with Philemon. We pointed out to you how that Paul the Apostle was a mediator, mediating between the runaway slave Onesimus and his master Philemon. And Paul was a wonderful picture of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus, the only mediator between God and men. And here again, between heaven and earth, the only mediator, the ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about the steps of the ladder? Because, well, first of all, you have to stand on a ladder if you're going to climb to do some work. You've got to take yourself and move on to that ladder. And so what you do, you transfer your weight from the ground upon which you stand onto that ladder. And you begin to climb. And my friend, salvation is when we put our trust fully in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. the dear old farmer in my previous church in Northern Ireland, old Mr. Duke. He used to come along to prayer meeting. He wasn't a very well-educated man in the ways of the world, but he knew the Lord and he knew him well. In the prayer meeting, it used to bless my soul when I heard him praying, and he prayed the same thing nearly every week. He says, "Lord, I'm glad I've put my full trust upon Thee for eternity." And week after week, he would remind himself and remind the people, "I'm glad, Lord, that I've put my full trust upon Jesus Christ for time and for eternity." The day came when Mr. Duke died, and he passed into the presence of the Lord. And now today he beholds Him forever whom his soul loveth. Let me ask you tonight, what do you build upon for eternity? Are you building upon some philosophical thing that people have presented to you? And how many people there are today who waste their time reading the philosophies of men? You take our world, for example. Our world is greatly influenced by Charles Darwin. Greatly influenced by Sigmund Freud. Greatly influenced by other men like Karl Marx. And so you find our society is modified by the influence of these men down through the years. Where are they today? Charles Darwin's dead. Karl Marx is dead. Sigmund Freud is dead. We present tonight not a dead philosopher, but a living Redeemer, one who lives and is alive forevermore. So, my friend, upon what do you build for eternity? Upon the shifting sands of man's intellectual opinions, or upon the solid ground, the rock of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? And so you need to put your full weight, the full weight of your soul, upon Christ. Then you'll find, once you do that, that the way leads upwards because the Lord leads it on. The book of Zechariah we were studying with the students this past week has this statement that we're not to despise the day of small things. And far be it from me to call salvation a small thing, but the day you come to Christ, that's not the end, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the climb on the ladder. And so we come to Christ, and from that day, He guides us each step of the way. And the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord gives us step by step, no steps missing. You can get a ladder sometime, a couple of rungs missing. This ladder doesn't have a rung missing. Step by step, the Lord leads us according to His own perfect will. And so every one of us will be praying, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" That we will follow Him step by step. I wonder, my friend, if you come to Christ, and are you climbing and following Him and heading towards heaven and home? But you have to consider, too, as we travel the ladder, the straightness of it. Because when you see a ladder, it doesn't have the side arms like this here, or the side pieces like that. They are two straight pieces with the rungs going across. And so therefore tells us that when you climb a ladder, there is a degree of straightness involved as you climb. And when you come to Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we are on a narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And so therefore, as Christians, we are to be careful how we build our Christian lives. Very, very carefully following what the Lord would have us do. In the back of our house up in Toronto, we have some sort of vine that covers the whole back of the house in the spring and summer and autumn time. It's a very beautiful thing, but it grows very, very rapidly. And so two or three times during the summer, I have to go up and clip away the vine from around the windows so we can see out and we can get some light into the house. It's very beautiful, I say, but it has to be trimmed. And so therefore, out comes the ladder, and I go up the ladder, and I begin to trim away around the windows. Now, the shape of our house and so on and another tree that's there nearby makes it so that, well, you don't like to have to go up the ladder and then clip a bit and then you can't reach any further. So you go down and you have to move the ladder over again and come up and do some more out here. Now, I don't really like having to go back down and do it again, move the ladder over. And so what I did one time was I got up there and I did all that I could within the range of the ladder, reached out to this side and reached out to that side and clipped away with the clippers. And then there were still some, just about a couple of feet out of reach. Well, if I could just reach a little bit more, maybe I could get it. And so I reached over, and all of a sudden, the ladder just rotated like that. And I, who was on top of the ladder one moment, is now in below it, hanging on. And rather similar to the elder's wife in Toronto, I had a drop down and was mightily glad that none of the neighbors were watching at that particular time. You see, you've got to stay on the ladder. And young people, as you're living your life with the Lord, you've got to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow His pathway. Because if you try to strain to get away from the Lord, you're inviting disaster in your life, as I did in the physical sense, trying to trim the ivy in our home. So the Lord wants us to follow Him step by step. And the steps of a good man are given and directed by the Lord. Then, of course, you've got the safety of the ladder, because you'll find over in the Psalm 73, the psalmist said that as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. And so in ourselves, if salvation, the keeping it, was left to us, we would slip. But how good it is to think of Psalm 37 again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then down in verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. And again, in the great 121st Psalm, you have the same thought coming out, that there we are kept by the Lord. Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And so the Lord helps us day by day, and He keeps us by His power. But there is the sanctification of it as well, because when you climb on a ladder, you're breaking contact with the earth. And when you climb on a ladder, you're opposing the downward force, because there's a force of gravity that is always pulling us down to the ground. And if you ever discover how to overcome that, you could make a fortune. But there's this force of gravity pulling us down to the ground. But when you climb in the ladder, you are opposing that downward force, and you're rising despite the fact that gravity is trying to pull you down. And you do make gradual upward progress. Now in the Christian life, you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You put your full trust in Him for time and for eternity. And then you begin to climb. And as you climb, you break the contact with earth. When I first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I used to smoke. And there's no more filthy habit than to smoke. I used to waken up in the morning and my mouth was like a sewer. I never tasted a sewer, but I tasted like what I imagined the sewer was like. It was pretty awful. And so bad was it that I tried once. I got wee of these little... Do you have polo mints here? No. They're little peppermint sweets with a hole in the middle. And the hole in the middle just fits a cigarette. And I used to put the cigarette into the polo mint and then smoke a cigarette. And somehow it helped the taste. And it is a filthy, dirty habit. Now, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I had difficulty at the beginning giving it up. The night I came to the Lord, I just opened the car window, and despite the anti-litter laws, threw the packet outside. But it wasn't long until I had another packet back inside again, and I had a great difficulty giving it up. And I prayed, Lord, give me victory over it. And I prayed, and even got the stage of drawing a graph. So many days, so many cigarettes to watch the graph come down. Now I have a graph like that for my weight, to see if I can get my weight down. But one by one, I get the graph down a bit and then back up again. And that was a terrible thing to get rid of. But one day, the Lord gave me complete and total victory. And I couldn't smoke a cigarette today if you were to pay me to do it. Because the Lord has taken not only away, he's taken the desire away completely and totally. So, once you get rid of that, up a step you go. The Lord is leading. The devil can't come and get you again with that. The devil sits there like a fisherman. He has a great big lure box and he's putting the lure in. And he'll try a lure for you that you come like me and cigarettes at the beginning. Oh, I've caught him again. And then he will change the bait until he gets you. But you see, the devil can't use a cigarette to get me now because there's no way I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And so the Lord gives you victory day by day, and you climb, and the contact of earth, that was like a chain to me at the beginning, is broken. And the Lord gives me victory and gives you victory as you go forward. And of course, you're hearing this morning of how the devil is the opponent of the believer. And he is the one who is like the force of gravity. He's trying to hold us earthbound. He doesn't want us to rise up on the wings of faith and be drawn closer to the Lord. And so he's holding on. But as you climb the ladder by the grace of God and with the help of the Lord, then you find that the devil is being defeated. And the Bible tells us sin shall not have dominion over you. So we should get victory. And I think there's a wonderful picture of the sanctifying process in the life of David. In the 2 Samuel chapter 3, it says there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Saul was the fleshly man, head and shoulders above the people, the people's choice. Saul was a mighty man of the flesh. Then along came David. With all his faults, he was the man of God's own choosing. Saul was deposed from the kingship and from the throne. David was to assume that throne. But until he did, there was this war going on, this long, long battle. But gradually the forces of Saul weakened and David waxed stronger and stronger until the house of Saul eventually was completely defeated and David sat on the throne. And my friend, the sanctifying process is just like that. As a battle goes on, Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am!" Because the things he did not want to do, he was doing, and the things he should do, he wasn't doing. He cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But just in the days of David, the war goes on. But as the days go on with the Lord, stronger and stronger, until finally we're taken home to glory to be with the Lord, and the greater David reigns totally, absolutely, supremely, and eternally. And so thank God, as we fight the battle down here, as we heard this morning, we are every day a day's march nearer home. One final word, and that is the solemnity of this ladder that Jacob saw. It says he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. I want you to notice that ladder reached from earth to heaven. It did not reach from hell to heaven. And the reason is quite simple. Between hell and heaven, God has placed a great gulf that cannot be bridged. From earth to heaven, that is bridged by the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus. If you ever find yourself down in the caverns of the damned, there is no way back to God. There is no second chance. There is no ladder to bring you out of the burning cauldron and bring you into the presence of God. You are lost and lost forevermore. My friend, today, I trust this solemn thought will arrest your heart. And you realize that now is the time when you need to put your full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and begin that climb by His grace that ultimately finishes in the halls of glory. Tonight again, upon what do you build? Upon the shifting sands of your or someone else's intellectual opinions? Or are you resting upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus? My friend, come tonight and find Christ as your Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for the simplicity of it. And Father, we pray that Thou would speak to every soul, especially those who know not the Lord Jesus. And we pray that this night they may ask themselves, where will I be in eternity? And upon what do they build for eternity? Oh God, we pray they might realize that only by the Lord Jesus Christ can they be saved. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Oh God, we pray this night that some soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will rest their all upon the ladder of salvation, the Lord Jesus. And grant, O God, this night they will come to know Him, whom to know is life everlasting. Our Father, speak on, we pray. And even after the service is over, we pray, our Father, that Thou would continue to speak. And grant, O God, to give to them the hearing ear, an understanding heart, and feet and hands to do the will of the Lord. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.